Morning. Thank you, Maya. That was wonderful. And thank you. Oh, I hope you had a wonderful summer. Enjoyed yourself. Come back. Off this new church year with Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians. And the theme that I'm focusing on in this book is in Christ. It's mentioned eight or nine times in this epistle of what it means for us Christians to be in Christ and what difference that makes to our identity, to our circumstances, and to our lives, and to our experience. We touched a little on Philippians when we did Acts a year or so ago. Maybe two, maybe three, I can't remember now. But we definitely covered it a little bit in Acts chapter 16. Now, Paul writes this letter to the Philippians while he's in prison, under house arrest. Probably in Rome, it's not certain, but that's what it's thought. And Philippi was a key military victory by Caesar Augustus. And as a result, it became a Roman colony. In Acts 16, Philippi was the first city in the present-day Europe where Paul establishes a church. And that happened on his second missionary journey, circa AD approximately from 49 to 51. And he was accompanied by Silas and Timothy when he planted this church. But it's very interesting, if you remember back to Acts, it was neither Paul's design nor intention to plant a church in Philippi. In fact, he was going in the opposite direction. He was going to Bithynia, and we can see it on the map here. So here's Philippi. I haven't got my laser pointer, and here's Bithynia. And Paul was on his way, which is now sort of the northern modern Turkey, so in that direction. And it says in Acts chapter 16, the Spirit of Jesus Christ stopped him. He was heading in this direction, and God turned him around. Has he ever done that to you? He's certainly done that to me. I've been going in this direction and he's gone, McFly, here we are, this way. And if you're old enough from the 80s, you might get that joke. If you're not, I'll talk to me afterwards. I'll try and enlighten you. Very good, Brian. So this is a really interesting fact, that this church in Philippi was the Lord's design. It was the Lord's idea to plant this church and to save these people and establish this church, just like it's the Lord's design to save us and establish his church here in Skopje. Isn't that a wonderful fact? It wasn't Paul's design. It was something that God desired and established, started, and something that God will finish. So when he eventually turned round, he went to Troas and he got the call. If anybody remembers that wonderful call, he got the Macedonian call in Troas and sent him on his way. And this is where the church was established, and several churches for that matter. And he comes into contact with this businesswoman called Lydia. She became one of his first converts. She was a dealer, a trader in purple. And she was a rich businesswoman. Her and her family encountered the living God through Paul's ministry. She got saved and her family got saved, and they got baptized. But if you remember back, there was this girl with a demon, following Paul and Silas around and giving them a hard time. And Paul relieves her of this spirit. He casts this medium spirit out of this girl and ends up getting thrown in jail because this girl was able to tell the future through this spirit. And Paul cast it out and thus lost the slave girl's owners their money that she made from that. So they put them in jail. And if you remember in Acts chapter 16, it's Paul and Silas in jail singing songs of worship and hymns to God. Is that something that you do in jail? Wouldn't you be saying, oh, poor me, what's happened? I was obedient to God. I even went in the opposite direction, and here I am, thrown in jail for doing good. But that wasn't the case. They started worshiping and praising God. And do you remember what happened? There was an earthquake, yes, and more than that, the chains fell off, and we just sung about it. The prison doors was opened, and the jailer, something miraculous happened. He came and recognized that God was with them, and he experienced the power of God, and he knelt before them and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe, and you and your family will be saved." And they believed and were saved and got baptized. Would somebody get me some water, please? I'm sorry about that. I forgot my bottle of water and my mouth's drying up. So thank you, Maya. So something wonderful happened to Lydia. They encountered the living God. They believed and got baptized. The jailer and his family believed and they got baptized. And this is how the church at Philippi became established. And I don't think Paul stayed in the region for too long. He ended up leaving the city. They wanted to escort them quickly out of jail. And he said, well, we're Roman citizens. You know, thrown into jail and flogged without a trial. And when they realized they were Roman citizens, they appeased them. So whatever that means, I'm sure that they, sorry, sir, you know. But very quickly, it says they left Philippi because they was experiencing persecution. But this is how the church at Philippi was established. And it's a wonderful story. So, believers in Christ. This is chapter 1. Verse 1, believers in Christ. We'll be covering that today. Our joy is in Christ. Our glory is in Christ. Thank you, Maya. Our faith and our confidence is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Our peace is in Christ. Our blessings, our reward are in Christ. And finally, our citizenship is wonderful. All that as Christians, this is who we are as people in Christ Jesus. That is our identity. The life of faith that binds us Christians together, it flows from our being in Christ. We are not friends because we go to the same church. We're not friends because we were born in the same country. We don't have fellowship because we follow the same football team. We don't have fellowship only because we live in the same suburb. No, no, no. Our fellowship and our unity is in Christ Jesus. Despite the diversity of us today, we come and represent from different countries, from different nationalities, from different denominations. but we are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And that is who we are. And that's such a wonderful thing for us to be, you know. We're not because of any other reason except our joy is in Christ. Joy is probably one of the major themes in this epistle, in this letter to the church at Philippians. And I find this really, really amazing. And I'm going to be unpacking this in the next few weeks, and so will the preaching team, because the major theme in Philippians is the joy despite life circumstances, despite persecution, despite whatever happens to us in life. Our joy is in Christ. Our happiness is dependent upon what happens to us. So we may be happy one day if things are working out and things are going well. It's great being a Christian until somebody steps on your shoes, isn't it? But our joy is in Christ, and it's not dependent upon our circumstances that we can experience joy. And that's joy. And how do I know this? Because Paul is writing from prison. Paul had his wings clipped and he's put in prison. And through this gift of the Philippians church, he's under house arrest. So he has his own little house. He's chained to a Roman guard. And through this money that the church has sent him and supported him, not only in prayer but in a financial way, he's able to have this house and be under this house arrest. So that might make him a little happier, but he's still chained. He still may be sent to death. It goes on in this epistle. It's better to be with the Lord than live. And he's pondering this life and death situation, because this is the reality that is facing him, a possible death sentence. And us that do know the end of the story, that is exactly what happened to Paul. He was martyred. He was murdered because of his faith. And he did experience death. But he had joy. And as a traveling apostle, being locked up under house arrest isn't a joyful situation. We would say it's catastrophe. That's what we would say in Skopje, catastrophe. But what the enemy meant for harm, God can use for good. And even in Paul's situation, he knew and trusted that God could use this situation for good. Is that our experience? Often I find myself in a situation that I might not like, that might be difficult, and I'd be saying, Lord, deliver me from this, help me. And God is whispering, I orchestrated it. I can use it for my kingdom and for my glory. Now, please do not misunderstand me. God is not the author of evil. God is not the author of sin. He's the deliverer from evil. He delivers us and forgives us from sin. He's not the author of evil, but he can use any circumstance for his kingdom, any circumstance for his glory. And Paul rejoiced in his weaknesses because he knew that God's strength could be made perfect, because he knew his identity was in Christ. And would Paul knew about this letter that he was writing, penned, chained to this Roman guard, would be our Bible today, that's being preached and read by millions of Christians through time. When Paul penned this letter, did he ever have an idea of what God could do? So, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through every one of these points, but we will be definitely unpacking them in greater detail in these next few months, and then again next. So, Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you In all my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy. He prays with joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And here it is. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you and in me, that he that began a good work in you will complete it, will carry it out until completion, until the day of Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. And how did Paul know this? Because he knew it through his own experience. To all the saints in Christ. Well, before I get there, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Very quickly, I would like to say this word servant means bond servant. This is how Paul described himself, a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody that knows will know that that word means slave. A slave. But he was a free slave. He was a slave that had been liberated from his bondage and set free, but chose to come back and serve his master, almost nailing that earring to the post, like the gentleman that did that in the Old Testament, that came back to his master, because he didn't see God as his owner. He saw him as his Lord and his Savior. And it was his privilege to suffer for the kingdom. It even says that, doesn't it? I will show him how much he must suffer for my kingdom. But it wasn't something that Paul was ashamed to do. He was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed to be in chains. And he was not even feared or ashamed to die for this glorious gospel. Love, it speaks about Hebrews, that we're not under obligation except the obligation of love of Jesus Christ, that reached down to each and every one of us and grabbed hold of us and pulled us out of darkness and placed us in his marvelous light. To the saints in Christ Jesus. Saints in the Bible is always plural. It's not individual. It's not a saint or an icon like maybe in the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church that we'd understand. Somebody that's died or been martyred has now become a saint. Paul describes the believers, those who believe in Christ Jesus and accepted him as Lord and Savior. He described the church as saints. So we're saints, brothers and sisters, in Christ. That is what the Bible says we are. A body of people, the body of Christ. Those who have been called and set apart. Chosen. Chosen. Set apart. Loved. The body of Christ. Those that dwell in Christ and whom Christ dwells in them. We have been sealed. We have been stamped. We have been set apart, marked with a deposit of the Holy Spirit, which guarantees our inheritance. We have a peace in the identity in Christ as saints, called and set apart, holy and dedicated to God, chosen and perfect in Christ. Even though we're being perfected, grace and peace. We can experience peace in life circumstances, and it goes further on in this wonderful epistle, and we will unpack that more. But I will say this, despite of life circumstances, we can experience peace. We are overcomers. We're not victims. We have something that the world wants and the world hasn't got, and the world cannot take it away from us. We have the living God in us. We are in Christ and he is in us. We are His body, His bride, His possession that He's purchased with His blood, His prized possession, His loved possession, the possession that He gave His life for. Nobody took it away. He gave it up for His bride. And you're His bride. We're His bride. We're His church. We're His body. We're His hands. We're His feet. We're His mouth. And we're His wallet. Isn't that wonderful? That's who we are. An identity is such an important thing in this day and age, when the world's trying to make us irrelevant, old-fashioned, dinosaurs, not to be outspoken. Well, it's all right for you. Church, the Bible, has never been PC. Has been. And we're not to conform to the pattern of this world, but we're to be transformed through the living Word of God, through His Word, through His power, through His Spirit. Searchable. It's unmeasurable. We can measure many things in this world today. We like to measure speed. Don't know about you. I love cars. I even like going fast. We measure speed. We measure the torque of the engine. We measure distance. We measure earthquakes. We measure power. Can we measure grace? Think we experience it, it's like a drop and it's an ocean. I pray with joy, 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 joy. Not dependent upon what happens to us, it's dependent upon Christ. Are you experiencing joy in the midst of difficult circumstances? Because that's what we're promised, that's our identity, that's what is available to us. Why would we not experience it? Calvary. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the power of His blood. Not dependent upon what happens, but it's dependent upon us being in Christ Jesus. Fight what happens. That it can guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Being confident of this. This is Paul's word. And his confidence is more than confidence. It's a blessed assurance. He knows, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you, in me, in this church, in the body of Christ, will complete it. We are in Christ. That is now. Yes, we've been perfected. We can either do it the easy way or the hard way. We can yield or we can fight back. I've never shied away from a fight. But there's one fight you're going to lose. You're not going to win a fight against God. You have to understand who we are in Christ Jesus, that we will be His and what He has already done. So the application. We can receive peace and joy in Christ through His amazing, rightfully ours. Are you experiencing peace and joy? You can rest assured, and we can be confident. He, the Lord God, who began a good work, will complete it. He will come. Brings us to the time in our service where we're going to have communion. And how we do communion at ICS is we're going to read the Nicene Creed together. And if you believe this, I would encourage you to join in with us. How we do it is that Stephen and I will serve the bread and the wine. You come up your left-hand side of the church, tear a piece of the bread and dip it into the wine or juice, which is ever your choice, and then We're going to read the Nicene Creed. Please stand up. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father of all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit who was incarnate, became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into the heavens, is seated at the right hand, come again in glory, judge the living and the dead, have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We confess one baptism, forgiveness of sins, and Lord, to the resurrection of the dead and the life.
Amen. Stephen, please. The day he was betrayed, he took the bread, and he broke the bread, and he said, "This is my body, given for you. Eat it in remembrance." The cup and the wine, he said, "This is my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me."
Before we partake in the emblems, I'm just going to pray that God would search out our hearts and our minds, that he may convict us if there's anything that we need to do to repent, to confess unto God, to make things right, and just take a few moments for him to minister to us. Stand or sit, whatever you're comfortable with. Dear Father God, we thank you for these emblems that represent your body, which was given for us, and your blood, which was poured out for us. And we just invite you now, through your Holy Spirit, that you would convict us, that you would lead us into repentance if necessary, that you would corporately, in Jesus. Let us pray. Abba Father, you've called us to be members of your body. We are joining with those who at all times and all places praise your name, that with one heart and with one mind we may show the unity of your bride, your church, and bring honor to your name, our Lord Jesus. The church is a gathering of forgiven sinners, new creations that are now called sons and daughters of God, saints set apart and called to be holy, saved by the patient grace of God. Therefore, we deal patiently with each other, and together we confess our constant need for grace and forgiveness. Restored in Christ's presence, shaped by his life, molded by his love, in this new community, we are living out the ongoing story of God's reconciling love. We are announcing the year of the Lord's favor, and we're proclaiming his glorious gospel of peace and reconciliation to a broken and hurting world. By acknowledging our salvation is not only about being saved from death, the separation of God, but the continuous transforming healing of our broken hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. Because you came to bind up the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. While we try to acknowledge our differences, including nationality, culture, denomination, and tradition, free us from any bondage that we place upon ourselves or that has been placed upon us. May we be all things to all people, and especially to each other. Let us shine like the stars in this dark world. Continually fill us with your Holy Spirit's life. May we be full of salt, full of savor and flavor. May we listen and hear your voice. Show us and help us to be intimate with you. Set us free from our fears that we may love you because you first loved us. And that releases us to love each other. Let us encounter you in a fresh and real way. The love that you've lavished upon your church through Jesus Christ. And we thank you that our identity is in Christ Jesus. Our hope, our trust, our citizenship, our life is in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you, who started the good work in us, doesn't matter where we are with our journey with you, you started it, Lord, and you will finish it. So we thank you for that, Lord. I pray that we may embrace your grace, that your love would flow through us. We pray for the countries represented here. We pray for our governments that they would find Christian representation. And despite the corruption, despite what's going on around us, Lord, save people, O God. Build your church. Help us to push back the gates of hell. Co-laborers with you, and you will build your church. Save our families, O Lord, those who are walking on paths that may not be right. Rescue them from themselves, O Lord. May your mercy and love follow them all the days of their life, and may they dwell in the house of the Lord. Restore the backslider, O God. Help us to share this wonderful God. Give us the courage that we need to say the right word at the right time. Help us not to be ashamed of the gospel. Help us to realize afresh it's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Fill us, lead us, guide us, and bless us. And the church said, Amen. Amen. During this next song, we'd have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. If you're a visitor here, don't feel obliged to give. We're not interested in your money. The Lord's interested in you, in your heart. But if you're a regular here, please give generously so we can achieve and do those good works that Christ has prepared in advance for us, the body of Christ, to do. Amen.
Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. Our Lord God, send